This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetze. We get to read about the story of Jacob, of Yaakov, going down to Haran to find his wives and to build a family. He works for his father-in-law, Lavan, for many years. It's actually, what's interesting about the Parsha, if you look in the Torah, it's one big story. There are no breaks. It's one long, continuous story, starting with Yaakov having his dream of the ladder, and then he gets down to Haran, where he's at the well. He miraculously takes the stone off of the well. He meets Rachel and Rachel, and then he ultimately works for his father-in-law, marries his two cousins, Leah and Rachel, and he has many children there. And then the story ends with him and his wife. And his wives and his family leaving, and then a confrontation with Lavan. In the story, we have where he's working specifically to marry Rachel, and his father-in-law does a swap and tricks him into marrying Leah first. So the Gemara in Megillah tells us an unbelievable story. It tells us, gives us the background of where we have Yaakov, at the beginning of the Parsha, he meets Rachel, and right there on the spot, he proposes to her. So the Gemara says like this, and it's a very interesting Gemara. It's a Gemara Megillah on Yud Gimel and Beis, 13b. It says, as a reward for the modesty that was exhibited by Rachel, she merited that the modest Saul descended from her. And as a reward for the modesty that was exhibited by Saul, he merited that the modest Esther descended from him. And what was the modesty exhibited by Rachel? Where do we see that she displayed modesty? It says, for Jacob told Rachel that he was the brother of her father. Now, was Yaakov really the brother of her father? Was he not rather the son of Rivka, her father's sister? Rather, this was what transpired. He said to Rachel, will you marry me? This is when they met the first time. She answered him, yes, however, I must warn you that my father is a deceiver, and you will not be able to outwit him. He said to her, I am his brother in deceit. I am a match for him. This was what Jacob meant when he told Rachel that he was a brother of her father. Rachel then asked him, are the righteous permitted to act deceitfully? He answered her, yes, they are, when others are trying to deceive them, as it is written, with a pure person you act purely, and with a crooked person you act crookedly. Yaakov asked her, what deceit would he use against me? She answered him, I have a sister, Leah, who is older than I, and my father will not marry me off before he marries her off. He will therefore try to trick you into marrying her instead of me. To prevent this from occurring, Yaakov gave Rachel signs, passwords, through which he would be able to identify her as Rachel, thereby preventing Lavan from submitting Leah, from substituting Leah for Rachel. When the wedding night arrived, and Rachel saw that her father was indeed planning on secretly substituting Leah for her, she said to herself, now my sister will be put to shame, for Yaakov will ask her for the passwords and she will not know them. She therefore conveyed the prearranged signs to her. And thus it is written, and it came to pass in the morning, and behold, it was Leah. Is this to imply that until now in the morning it was not Leah? Certainly not. Rather, through the prearranged signs that Rachel conveyed to Leah, Yaakov did not know until now in the morning that it was Leah and not Rachel. Therefore, because Rachel acted modestly, she merited that the modest Saul descended from her. And then the Gemara goes on and describes the modesty of Saul and then the modesty of Esther. So when we read this Gemara, you ask most people, what was the modesty of who was being protected in this story? So the answer that's given is that it's Leah that was being protected, meaning you have a situation where Leah is going to be embarrassed. Rachel realizes that this is not okay, And so she goes and saves her sister from potential complete embarrassment. The thing is that the Gemara then goes on and tells us about Saul and his modesty, and about Esther and her modesty. Now, this modesty, what exactly is this modesty that we're talking about here? So let's go back to the story of the Parsha. The craziest thing that occurs is that when Yaakov meets Rachel for the first time, he proposes marriage, which is pretty unusual. And they right away concoct this scheme to be able to outmaneuver Lavan. So now you fast forward to the time of where this swaparoo is going to happen. And the reality is that they already had they have Lavan where they want him. What Rachel should have done is she should have gone to her father and said, "Listen, Dad, we know what you're up to, and Yaakov and I have already have this on lockdown. We're gonna he'll be able to figure it out because we have this special situation set up now. We know, and we're able to protect from this happening." She could have easily have done that. The question is, why doesn't she do that? And the answer is that she is protecting Yaakov. What is the idea of tznius here? As you read the Gemara, we see that Saul protects Shmuel, Samuel, from potential embarrassment from his exposure, because he went and he anointed Saul as the king secretly and told him, "Don't tell anybody." So here he put himself, Shmuel did, Samuel put himself in a very vulnerable situation. And Saul was confronted by his uncle, and he does not tell him what happened because he was protecting Samuel. That is the tznius, that is the modesty, or the word that we're using here for modesty. It's a little different. It's not the modesty of dressing in a certain way or conducting oneself in a certain way as much as the tzniut. Here, with the Gemara, what's unfolding in the Gemara is that the idea of tzniut is to protect someone who is vulnerable. There's a certain vulnerability that exists in the situation of Yaakov, because if it got out that he proposed to Rachel when he met her the first time and was trying to marry the younger sister, which was not acceptable in that place, he would have looked silly. So he's extremely vulnerable. And so it's Rachel that goes out of her way to protect Yaakov, and therefore also goes out of her way to protect her sister from being embarrassed. But it didn't have to come to that. And we see this pattern because the Gemara continues and goes and talks about the story of Saul and the story of Esther. Because what is the story of Esther? Her uncle, her husband, Mordechai. Right? Here's someone that raised her, and then ultimately they got married, and she never divulges that. It's something that's kept quiet because there's potential embarrassment there as well. And so we see this idea, a pattern in this family line of when you have someone else that has potential for being embarrassed, that they are in a vulnerable state. Tzniut, the way the Gemara is reading here, is describing for us this idea of protecting someone else's vulnerability. And that's the idea ultimately of how we understand tzniut of modesty today, is because we are protecting our own vulnerability in dressing a certain way, acting a certain way, to kind of protect ourselves also when we're in a vulnerable state. And so we come away from this Gemara with a very, very powerful lesson, because clearly the Gemara is telling us that this is a very special quality and something that we should learn from. And that when we are in relationships, and in a good relationship where people are open, they're open to vulnerability. And so that our task as a friend, as a spouse, as a parent, or any relationship which the other person is potentially vulnerable, we learn from Rachel, our mother, and from Saul, her offspring, and Esther, that we have to learn to understand that there's a need to be conscious and aware and to be vigilant in protecting other people's vulnerability. That we have to be sensitive to this. And it's such an important thing to be cognizant of. And this is an incredible lesson. The Gemara, when people read it on the surface, they take away from the story with Rachel and her sister Leah. It looks like she was protecting her sister. They don't realize that she's actually protecting Yaakov as well, if not more so. And so that the takeaway is that we see the power of this ability to protect others and their vulnerability, and then it's something that is so powerful that it goes from generation passed on to the next generation until even further into history, because this is something that is so powerful and so important. And we should learn that we should be sensitive to others and to really protect the special relationships, the special connection that we have with others, and that when we're in those special relationships, to realize that when a person is open and vulnerable, that with something that it's very important for us to go out of our way to make sure that we protect. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.